FM. It's podcast time. Fanny's thrilled that you are online. There's laughs and chat and news and stuff. Thank God you've got the lap.
Podcast 44, yeah.
Just push some of these up.
Yeah, could have. Not my job.
Not
my job.
It's not hard to just to push.
It's not hard to.
Just push a microphone.
Who do you think you're talking to? Who do you think you're talking to?
Mr. Wallace.
The others aren't here, and yet you talk to me about favours. You think this is acceptable?
I'm sorry,
on podcast 44, we've got Sacha Baron Cohen. We've got Michael Winslow for you. A very special documentary, the phrases and the cliches you get wrong, a psychic moment, and some maudlin good news. Do you want me to push another button now, Stevie?
No, sir, I'll do it.
Do you do that as well?
No, well, if you could.
Yeah, I'll do that as well, shall I? Yeah. Here it is!
Yes, we are XFM. Annie Wallace.
So I'm back from Italy. I was over there, you know. It wasn't fun. I mean, it was fun, but it was a work trip.
They took to me.
They took to me like a duck to water. That's what happened there. No, it was great fun. Went over there. I was in Florence, beautiful city.
Yeah.
I was in Milan, beautiful.
Yeah.
Vicenza last night. And in Vicenza, this is all to do, I was, you know, my book has come out over there. So I went to Vicenza and they picked me up in an English taxi cab, a London
nice
Hackney
touch,
carriage.
Nice touch.
It was a nice touch. Everyone was very excited. It was quite normal for me. I was just kind of like, I'm just in a cab here. And then realised the, sort of the weirdness of it. And then arrived at this place and it was a lady in a top hat was interviewing me on a stage while a man called Matt translated everything in my ear.
Ooh.
And it's very off-putting because everything you say, the man immediately translates for the crowd, right? So we're out in this square. The sun is setting. It's beautiful. And I'm sort of giving short, pithy answers because I think they don't want to hear a man rambling on forever. But the translation seems to last for about sort of 3 or 4 minutes. Like anything I say, it's just lyrical. And I'm starting to think, this guy's making this up. He's making me sound wiser than I am. Because sometimes I'd finish on a joke and I'd wait for the sort of the response after the translation. And everyone would just look at me and nod as if I'd said something incredibly wise. And then there's the food, my goodness me, the food.
Food's good, isn't it?
Food's good, but the food, there's a lot of food that happens in Italy, you know? You sit down and they give you some meat, and you start to eat the meat, and then they give you some pasta, and you eat the pasta, and they go, right, we should order. And you go, whoa, what? I'm sort of full on all this. And they go, no, you need to order a pasta dish and then maybe a meat dish. Go, were you here for this? We've just eaten as far as I'm concerned. But just to kind of an amazing experience as well, just to be out there.
I hear on the grapevine they treat you like a rock star over there because their books are so dull. Yours is groundbreaking.
Well, they don't have a history of humour books. Everything in the kind of the in the top 20 is very serious about sort of microcosms and all this. Yeah. So they're not used to a man kind of making jokes, you know. A man, I wear glasses, you know, so I should be taken very seriously.
Yeah.
You know, they think of me as a young academic on glasses alone, and then I'm just making jokes and stuff.
Oh,
so,
right.
But no, what a lovely thing to do.
Nice.
Next time you'll come out with me, yeah?
Yeah, oh yeah, we should do the show from there.
Well, I did massive plugs for XFM on
Steve Harris. Again.
Well, yeah, on Italian television, I did.
Really?
Yeah, and one for Vanity Fair Italia. So, you know, we're going to start getting a lot of Italian listeners.
Nice. If you're listening in Italy, do tweet us this morning.
But well, there will be some people listening in Vicenza who promised last night.
Brilliant.
So, welcome along, everybody.
XFM.
It's happening.
Oh.
It's happening. Here we go. Here we go. I don't know who does it. Let's do this. Hello?
Jahnon!
Hello?
Hello, Jahnon!
I think I recognize his voice. Caller, will you identify yourself, please?
I will not identify myself, how dare you!
I know who it is! I think it's Admiral General Aladdin, is that right?
No, I am Admiral General Sergeant Aladdin. Chief and Chief Ophthalmologist of Wadiyar,
yes.
Most triumphant general and excellent swimmer, including butterfly.
It's him, it's him, here he is.
Wow.
It is such.
Don't clap yet. I am also the possessor of a second brain in my spine like a dinosaur.
Listen, you've got so many achievements we could talk about.
I have 118 PhDs. How many do you have?
None as yet.
You are a nincompoop.
I know, I am. General Aladdin and all the other things you said, it is such an honour, obviously, to speak to you today.
Obviously it is.
Yes. As a mark of respect, sir, we would like to make you some kind of...
Don't call me, sir!
Okay.
I'm Admiral General Aladdin!
Okay. As a mark of respect, Admiral General Aladdin, we would obviously... we'll be honoured if you would in any way consider being an executive producer of the XFM Breakfast Show. We would ask you what your first action might be.
The executive producer, the head of the entire station?
Yes.
Well, my first act would be to say to anyone else in the station, say goodbye to your families and choose the music you want played at your funeral.
Right. Fair enough.
But I love your radio station, the West End Radio. Obviously, I've never heard this one. Didn't even know it existed. But when I listen to a Western radio station, I listen to a song, and if I like it, I call up some of my people, and I have the singer kidnapped.
Well, it's a...
Did you ever wonder what happened to Janet Jackson?
Yeah. I have her
in my palace. You can have her back right now.
You feel free to keep hold of Janet.
You know Tupac Shakur, the singer-rapper?
Absolutely.
He came to my palace. I paid him $200,000 to perform for 20 minutes, only 20 minutes at my birthday party.
Yeah.
It was a number of years ago. All the time, he spent 15 minutes of it telling me, ordering me to put, I quote, to put my hands up in the air and to wave them like I just don't care.
Oh, the arrogance of the man.
Why would I put my hands in the air and wave them like I don't care?
You're absolutely
right.
I care.
Dictators care where we wave our hands.
No, you're absolutely right. It's not a mistake that I would ever make. How can we together ensure the victory of this breakfast show against, say, the tyranny of other lesser breakfast shows?
Well, we have a saying in Wadiyar, my country. It is, if you can't beat them, nuke them.
Right. Right. I have no ready access to that kind of technology, I'll be honest. It's important, is it not, Admiral General Aladdin, to keep our listeners compliant and docile. Is there just one way of doing that?
Well, I would suggest torturing your listeners, but you are already doing that with the music you play.
Absolutely. Well, in that case, we will continue to do that. We'll continue to keep our thumb on them. General Aladdin, thank you so much for joining us today. It's
thank
been an honour.
Thank you to England for making my movie number one.
There you go. Put your hands in the air like you just don't care. That was Admiral General Aladdin.
I'll execute you. All right, bye, sugar tip. Bye-bye, sugar tip.
XFM Weather.
It's going to be the warmest day of the year so far in London. Dry and sunny with a high of 29, celebrating 20 years in 2012. We are XFM.
What would you eat if you were going to, it's an ideal dish for that.
I've been thinking about
poached salmon or something.
I was thinking poached salmon, actually. Or couscous. Maybe like a couscous salad.
Yeah. I saw you write that down earlier. XFM. Well, a sculptor has created what is believed to be the world's smallest portrait of the Queen. What do you think the smallest portrait of the Queen is, dimensions-wise?
The one that's on a penny. A penny.
A penny?
Yeah.
It's a lovely thought, isn't it? Yeah, it's a little portrait. It's
pretty small. Or fivepence piece is small.
Oh, it's even smaller, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yes, I think.
Well, it's smaller than that, Matt. It's smaller even than that. Even than a fivepence piece.
Oh,
the smallest thing Matt can imagine is a fivepence piece. And it's smaller than that.
Okay, what is it? On the head of a match or something?
It's not. It's on a 2mm coffee bean, Matt. 2mm coffee bean. The miniature masterpiece of the Queen's head is so small it's invisible to the naked eye. I'm always suspicious of those things. Like, if it was me, I'd use a magnifying... I could look at that magnifying glass and then, like, out of a sort of a children's TV show, I've painted something on the magnifying glass.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, look at that. The amazing sculpture was made to mark Her Majesty's Diamond Jubilee. British micro-sculptor Willard Wigan created the commemorative tribute by slowing his heartbeat and working between beats to avoid hand tremors. Now that's a lot of effort to go to, isn't it? To paint a picture of the Queen on a bean. A queen bean. He used tiny homemade tools. Wow. So he made his own tiny tools. And he painted. Guess what he painted with? What would you paint with if you were going to paint a tiny picture of the Queen on a bean?
Well, just maybe like one, you know, one strand of a paintbrush. One yes. solitary strand.
What's smaller than that?
I don't know.
Well, go on, have a guess. What's smaller than even the strand of a paintbrush?
Like a single hair.
Of?
Of a donkey.
A donkey?
No, I don't.
You would paint Her Majesty on a bean with a donkey's hair?
Well, I've
That's
never really
treason.
Thought about it before.
That is treason. You disgust me. You're a barbarian. Jeez. A donkey, of all things. No, a hair plucked from a housefly's back.
Oh, what?
Yeah, wow. He plucked a hair from the back of a housefly and painted... He sounds like he's got problems. This guy.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's got issues. Like in any other society, if a man was painting with the hair off the back of a fly on a bean, a picture of the Queen, he would not be being celebrated. Anything goes that it's the Diamond Jubilee. You can do anything.
Yeah.
And people go, oh, that's wonderful. What a wonderful tribute. You'd be locked away ordinary for this. I guarantee you. And not only that, he's been honoured with an MBE for his services to art, this fella. My goodness me. That is, I mean, what a great thing. So he does his job, and he gets an MBE. There's a new book out called The World's Most Dangerous Jobs, and I was flicking through it, and there's like Red Arrows pilot, there's astronaut, there's all stuff like that. What about the normal jobs? They've all got dangerous things. You know, it's not easy painting a picture of the Queen on a bean. What's the most dangerous thing about your job, Matt?
I suppose if I say something wrong, right, if I say something really bad, legally unsound, yeah. right, if I just blurted it out,
yeah.
then I could end up, like, in prison. A yes. judge could summon me before him.
Let's try it. So, for example.
No, there's no examples.
Just a little example.
So, I'd get hauled in front of a judge and sent to prison. And prisons are pretty dangerous places, I suppose.
I guess for a guy like you.
I suppose, I mean, that's the most dangerous thing apart from...
I think we share that, don't we? We share that in here. What about the second most dangerous thing about you?
I suppose that paper cuts.
Yeah, I suppose paper cuts comes pretty close seconds. What about you, Dave?
Well, you might have noticed I'm quite clumsy.
Yeah.
At the best of times.
Yeah.
And my headphones are quite springy. And you might have seen me as I try to put my headphones on.
Yeah, they spring off. Yeah.
It springs out of my right hand.
You throttle yourself.
And hits me just above the eye. And
constantly.
I've actually given myself a couple of injuries in the past by trying to just put my own headphones on.
Yeah. I mean, a child could do that, couldn't they? My infant son does that with very little injury time taken. So that's a dangerous thing. Most dangerous thing about my job is probably not replying to emails that have been accidentally sent to me or that involve me in things I really don't need to be involved in with a sort of little sarcastic rejoinder. And I walk that line every day. Or maybe not leaving, you know, sarcastic messages under other messages left by chief executives on the internal messaging board. Again, every day I walk that line. It's like
Have
something
you done that,
that? It right no not yet no. But it rises up in me. It's like a need to kind of read it and just go, well, it is what I think. But yeah, I don't. I walk that line and I control that danger. And that's what I do.
It's ever present, that danger.
You don't know unless you've walked in these shoes, these size 10 shoes, what that's like.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
You might have heard various sort of promotions going on, you know, between the records and stuff. You'll suddenly hear some people talking about Bestival and about this festival guide, and one of the voices might be quite familiar to you. You can hear him just chuckling away now. It's the Billy Ricky Nitwit. Steve, work experience Steve, you feature on that promo. How on earth did that happen? What's happened to the budgets that we're getting you to do that?
I'm just all over the station now.
Yeah.
Just invading.
Yeah, you're a regular voice. For example, this is Steve acting.
Isle of Wight, Download, Latitude.
Where'd you get your inspiration? How'd you do it? You pulled that out of nowhere.
I know. It was off the top of my head.
Was it?
Yeah.
Because these promos have been running quite a lot. Have your mates heard them?
Yeah, they have.
What about Malcolm and Jerry? Have they heard it?
They have. Very proud of me.
What does your best mate Ryan make of it all?
Ryan.
Jealous.
Ryan was very jealous.
I bet he was. So this all happened, and as these promos went out, Steve, did you feel the electricity running through Global when you unleashed this?
I did. I got a bit overwhelmed by, like, the attention I was getting.
There was a lot of attention. You say this in a mocking way, but you don't really know about this. Dave got in touch with The One Show. You know they do all the documentaries that Dave watches. John Suchet was actually covering this recently on something. A short documentary about your involvement in the world of on-air promotions was commissioned. Here it is. You've not heard this.
In life, there are moments moments that define us, moments that unite us. And in recent times, no moment has united and defined us as much as the moment that is the moment that is this one coming up. We all remember where we were the first time we heard this.
You still got that tenner, lent you?
Oh, mate, I left that at Tina Park last year.
Oh, what about my sleeping bag?
Yeah, I left that at Reading Festival.
Wow. What about my wellies? My barbecue?
I remember it all started with a paid-for read.
Danny Wallace, presenter.
And it's standard stuff, you know, I can do it in my sleep, but then just take it to this different level. My work experience, Steve.
Well, I mean, work experience, Steve, you completely nailed it. We'd never heard anything like it before.
Matt Dyson, news and travel.
Just raw talent and energy just seeping from every pore of his being. If you were to take all the best voiceovers in the world and to roll them all together, like Telly Savalas, Sean Connery, Morgan Freeman, that's what you're looking at here with work experience, Steve.
Barbecue, Macagall.
Isle of Wight. Download Latitude.
All day Friday, we're giving you the...
I remember coming in and there was just this buzz.
Dave Masterman, producer.
Girls in short skirts leaning against desks, saying, have you heard the on-air promos? You know, who is this kid?
Everyone was talking about it. It just went crazy, just absolutely crazy. The client was so happy that they immediately decided to advertise again with XFM. That never happens.
I could tell the kid was a natural.
Dan Reeder, promotions producer.
But he was like a wild stallion. I tried to tame him. That's not what you do with a wild stallion. You have to let it run free. You don't try and ride a stallion. You don't try and ride a 21-year-old boy.
I just think that for someone who'd come to us straight from a Young Offenders Institute, he just seemed to have it.
You need kit to the wrong mate.
I've still got your onesie, though.
Win all day for...
The onesies line was actually ad-libbed.
The onesies line was probably my favourite of the lot.
Everyone was talking about onesies.
Onesies.
So what now for work experience Steve?
The world is his oyster.
What's that expression? Seafood?
I just think the world is his oyster.
The world's his oyster?
Something to do with oysters.
So it seems the world is his oyster. But first, just make the f***ing coffee, Steve.
There he is! There he is!
We are XFM.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think I found it. I think I found the ultimate XFM breakfast show news story.
Finally!
It's got everything. It's got everything for you. I mean, I know we've said that in the past with things like Nicolas Cage is a vampire.
Yeah.
I mean, that was number one for me for a while.
Yvonne the Cow, very much on brand.
The Runaway Cow, exactly. Yeah. When I first came to XFM, they said, what we really want is more Runaway Cow-based, you know, bovine, yes, that world, but cow-specific if possible. And, you know, we were... The cow gods graced us, didn't they, with Yvonne?
Yeah,
today? Today it's happened again. Are you aware of the Beast of Hackney Marshes?
I've heard of the Beast of Hackney Marshes, yeah. I don't know much about it.
Well, no one knows much about the Beast of Hackney Marshes.
Oh, right, okay.
So, you know, you get these big cat sightings up and down the country. They tend to be in sort of York and places like that, or Yorkshire. And, well, I suppose anywhere with marshland or marshes or fields or, you know, any
Dales.
Dales is what I was going for. Mm. So, you get those. But there was one in London. And it was a big shape, and it had been photographed in the past. And they've now revealed what the Beast of Hackney Marshes is. The Beast of Hackney Marshes has been spotted and has terrified East London residents for years. Is revealed to be a huge Newfoundland dog owned by the drummer from Cooler Shaker. Huh? The drummer from Cooler Shaker? How on message is this? The mysterious Beast of Hackney, who, as I say, has terrified East London residents while prowling through woodlands, has finally been revealed as a big pet dog. The huge black creature. It's a dog, it's not a creature. We've established it's a dog. Yeah. The newspaper's now going back on itself.
Yeah,
it's a creature. The huge black creature has been spotted stalking through woodland and was soon dubbed the Beast of Hackney Marshes, as locals struggled to identify this enormous animal. And so someone took a picture of it, and it got in the paper. And the drummer, Paul Winter Hart from Cooler Shaker, was reading the paper and just went, that's my dog.
Surely the drummer wasn't far behind the dog, so people could have put two and two together.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Why wouldn't it have been called The Beast of Hackney Marshes featuring the drummer from Cooler Shaker? Yeah. That'd be much better. So Paul Winter Hart, 40, came forward as the owner of the massive canine called Willow. Oh, Willow's not a terrifying name. After a picture was placed on the front page of the local paper. I love that.
Amazing.
So we're going to find this out about these various things up in Anarcho. Is it all going to, wouldn't it be great if all the other ones, all the big cats and stuff, all belonged to various indie luminaries?
Or just all belonged to the drummer from Cooler Shaker.
Yeah, what's he got? What's this guy's problem? Yeah. He just owns massive dogs and sends them around the country. Something wrong with him.
We are XFM.
Danger. Danger is everywhere. At least where you're concerned, in terms of your work. We're asking you this morning, what's the most dangerous thing about your job? This book arrived on our desk, World's Most Dangerous Jobs. Got us thinking. You know, it's not just about being an astronaut or a Red Arrows person, you know? There's office dangers, aren't there? Matt, give me one.
Sonia in Beckenham.
Yeah.
I have to get in a lift at least twice a day, usually more. Yeah. The risk of getting trapped with psycho murderers is so much higher than those who work in one-story buildings or older buildings that only have stairs.
Yeah.
Sonia, don't let this keep you awake at
night. No, don't have nightmares.
It's quite unlikely.
Dan says, the stairs to my workplace are very, very slippery. If it's been raining, just forget it. You will never make it up. Oh, man. Dan, it's a dangerous job. Ivan the Abseiler says, well, the obvious choice would be working at height. But to be fair, the most dangerous thing is probably that we're just a bunch of idiots. That's from Ivan.
Wow. Confirmed listener, Publican Matt, simply says, danger, obesity, and alcoholism.
Right. Right, fair enough. He battles with it every day. Anonymous says, as an HR manager, I am paid to be responsible, level-headed, and sensible. Unfortunately, I'm none of these things, and every day I have to put my work head on when I arrive to stop the real me, irresponsible liability, being let loose. So the most dangerous thing is the risk of me saying something ridiculous and potentially very costly, and indeed getting myself fired. That's true. That's true. A lot of HR people are.
Stuart in Notting Hill works in fear of many metal cake tins falling off the shelf behind him.
Constantly.
You can hear them going. You duck for cover.
Duck and cover. Ian in Tottenham. Ian in Tottenham, what's yours?
All right, being a year two teacher, I live in a world populated with hobbit-sized tables. I'm forever smashing my thighs on the edges of. And I'm only 5'7". Thanks a lot, Ian from Tottenham.
I like the sign-off. Thanks a lot, Ian from Tottenham. Oh, man, he's 5'7", and he's got the hobbit-sized tables. He just bashes his little Ian shins and his little Ian thighs all the time on his hobbit things. Poor fella. Anonymous says, I'm a banker. Public political rallies or any references to the economic climate in public places terrify me. Oh, man, stay strong, stay strong. Mike in Sheffield says at the bookshop where I work, there are often large piles of books precariously balanced on the top of bookshelves in the storeroom. This led to a situation recently where I was assaulted by a huge pile of Jeremy Clarkson hardbacks, only increasing my disdain for the man. What you got, Matt?
Confirm listener Billy in Battersea. The most dangerous thing about my job is the possibility that one of the housewives of the properties that I frequent will jump on me and demand boom chicka bow wow.
Is that right? What a danger.
Clear and present danger,
what a danger
at all times.
The mad professor just texts say, working at the research funding office, I have to tell academics that I won't give them money for studies into our cat psychic and other mental research projects that they dream up. I have to have more or less armed protection and an alias to protect me and the family. Oh, from mad professor attacks. Right. I see. That's what it is. So it is anonymous. Man, imagine having to tell a slightly off-balance or off-key academic, I'm really sorry, I'm not going to give you money for our cat psychic. X-F-M. Mick, of course, has been in touch quite a bit over the past day or two. He suggested that in terms of today's weather, this evening, this is what you might want to eat.
Sea bass fillet.
He came straight in with that. You know, boom. What should we eat? Sea bass fillet. But I think during the 3:22 it took to play Mick's song there, he felt he'd undersold it. So he got in touch again. He just says, Danny, little food for weather update. Succulent sea bass fillet barbecued and served with a drizzle of tomato, red onion and coriander salsa.
Nice.
On a bed of crisp lettuce leaves with honey roasted new potatoes. He goes on to say, this isn't just any food for weather. This is XFM's food for weather.
XFM.
We're excited because Michael Winslow is here, everybody. Yes. Michael Winslow, how are you? That's him doing his own applause.
I'm doing fine, baby. You got Kings of Leon on, man.
That's good.
Yeah, man, right. I like Kings of Leon.
Yeah, I like them too, man.
Even though they don't know who we are.
He's doing his own. He's got his own radio show going on just there in between.
Yeah, but I'm loving this station, man.
That's good. We're pleased to have you here. We've all wanted to meet you for years, I think, ever since we first saw you in Police Academy and could not believe what you were doing.
I love doing this, man. This is radio. Yeah, and you know what? Academy's been a great opportunity, man.
Well, it was a great, I think in Britain where we first became properly aware of you, would say, and there were, what, six films?
Seven? Yeah, that was, the first one was 19, somewhere around there.
And you, of course, Dr. Larvell, Monsignor.
Dr. Monsignor Larvell Jones III, M.D., Jr., Esquire.
There you go. My favorite character, I would say. And, what a great thing to be doing. And there's rumors of another one.
Pre-production has begun.
Well, it's more than rumors then, isn't it?
It's been greenlit.
Really?
New Line Cinema's got the systems underway. New directors in place.
Really?
In fact, the director is the gentleman that directed all the Tosh.0 episodes in the U.S.
I see, and that's kind of a web series, isn't it? It's all about kind of web stuff. I think we get it over here a little bit.
Yeah, like the Ray William Johnson thing. But this is a very popular, the most popular show on Comedy Central right now.
Is that right?
And that director is now the director of Academy number 8.
Police Academy 8 is on its way. Now, you need a colon, of course. Police Academy 8 colon what?
Yeah, exactly. What is next?
Yeah. We don't know. He doesn't
Return
know.
To
we
duty. Know. You never know what they're going to call it. You never know.
That's going to be great. And you're on board, Gutenberg?
Steve, yeah, he's going to be... we've talked about it. We talked about it last week.
Really?
Oh, yes.
How cool to be able to just call Gutenberg and just go, yeah, let's crack out.
Well, he came to the show I was doing on Broadway with the Voca people. He came to see some of the things that was...
He came on down. He's doing a lot of Broadway as well at the moment.
Yes, he is. He's doing really well.
But you're over here doing a big old tour.
In the UK!
Exactly.
That's right. That's it for jolly old England.
It's all happening.
Hey, what about Guinness?
Yes, them too. Time for cold ones. So on XFM, I'm having a cold one. And continue talking while I enjoy.
All right, yeah. Man of 10,000 sound effects is going all over the country. Bath, Bedford, Hereford, St Albans, everywhere.
Sorry, I brought Scruffy with me.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's your cold one, Scruffy. He likes that beer.
Yeah.
Anything else, Scruffy?
Oh, that came of a bloody dog.
You should see the hedgehog.
I don't want to know.
It's unrelenting. Michael Winslow.
I'm sorry.
Look at that.
I'm sorry. What was your question?
What I love is my mum, who is, I would say, less familiar with the Police Academy movies and all your work than me, is probably staring at a kitchen radio now going, I don't know what's happening.
And anyone who has animals at the house, I apologize.
Yeah. You're doing the E4 Udderbelly at the South Bank Centre from 20th of June to the 22nd. It's a short run out the Udderbelly, but a great place to be. You looking forward to
it? A great place to be and a great place to play. Man, I got to tell you, man. Folks, come on to the show. My job is to help you forget about the rent. Right, Scruffy? Okay. And by the way, I know what you... Don't smell that, Scruffy. You know what that is? That's a coffee bean.
Oh,
it's a coffee bean with Her Majesty's face on it.
It's topical. It's topical as well. Huh. Michael, nice work.
Don't smell that, Scruffy. Now, I'm trying to figure out how this got on here. So, basically, who painted it?
Well, it was a gentleman. I think his name was Willard Wigan.
Hello, I'm Willard Wigan. I'm Willard.
Yeah, and what he
Willard
did was...
Wigan. That's right, that's me, Willard Wigan. My name is Willard Wigan. You just call me Willard. What's the question, sir?
I imagine his question was, how am I going to paint this coffee bean with a picture of the Queen?
I asked myself the question a lot, actually. I paint all kinds of small things. I paint big things on small items, actually. Now, if I was to take this can of spray paint, and I was to give it to this fly, shrink it down in size using my atomator, and give the paint to a fly, Okay, Mr. Fly. Yeah, here's the coffee bean. Here's your paint. Funny, you can hear that even though it's small. Begin painting Her Majesty's picture. Well, it's, the can's too big for the fly. He can't stop! Oh, excuse me. That's not Her Majesty's picture. That's Mick Jagger.
Amazing, amazing.
What do you think, Mick?
It's not bad. I'd have painted it a lot better. I'd use my lips to paint it, but that's not bad.
Great, all improvised, all right there, all based on the papers. A little bit like watching a breakdown. At the same time, a marvellous thing.
XFM.
Now, I zoned out for a second there, being quite tired. And who was the last guy in the sports?
Eddie Newton.
He was just talking in cliches.
Yeah.
He was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Just the entire thing. Meaningless.
Yeah. Do you want to hear it again?
Oh, yes, please. Oh, have you got that bell? Have you got that little bell? Is that bell around?
The cliche bell.
Yeah. So get the cliche bell.
Where is it?
Dave's found it. There it is. It's massive. Look at that.
Here we go. Here's Eddie Newton again.
Okay.
If you're given an opportunity, you have to maximise it to the fullest potential.
One, isn't
and
it?
I feel Robbie and myself have done that. Mm. So what will be, and but we'll put ourselves in a good light, and hopefully something will come from it.
Well, yeah. good for you, good for you.
More cliches. It's good.
Four in a row. Let's see if we can get it to five next time.
XFL.
A range of salts said to be collected. From what do you think, right? So what is quite salty, right? So they're giving out a new range of salts for food.
Oh, no, really?
Where could this salt come from?
Well, sweat is quite salty. Please tell me it's not from sweat.
No, that'd be crazy.
That'd be horrible.
It's from crying humans.
Oh, right. Tears.
Yes.
It's almost as bad.
It is almost as bad. So there's a range of emotions that are on sale. So you can season your food with things. So you get people around your house, and they go, this is quite... What is this? What is this? Is this Parmesan? No, it's the tears of a 43-year-old man. His name's Brian. He was left by his wife. Just gives it a sort of a slightly sad tinge to the... I mean, hay fever season. That's when these guys must harvest their tears. Do you think they go around just trying to make people cry? Have they got like little tear...
Chopping onions in front of them.
Or just reading them dark poetry. Something like that, just holding a plate of lasagna underneath them just to get a bit... I don't know. I don't know how they do it. But Salt Made from Tears is the name of the company. It combines centuries-old craft with the freshest human tears. Oh, at least they're fresh. Which are then gently boiled, released into shallow crystallization tanks, then harvested by hand, and finally rinsed in brine. Sounds delicious.
Oh, wow.
Anything boiled and rinsed in brine, I'm in.
Yeah.
I thought we were supposed to be cutting down on salt.
Yeah, I know.
You know, is this part of your five a day? I think this is pretty bad for you, isn't it?
Well, I suppose it's recycling salt in a way, because it goes through us and then comes out via our tears.
Do you think this is part of the eco-revolution?
Could be. Yeah. But I, for one, am not getting involved.
You're not on board the tear train.
We are
XFM.
Steve, how'd you feel?
Overwhelmed.
You should feel overwhelmed. I mean, what an entrance into the world of voiceovers and promotions. I sent your clip to the people at Earache, who are a voiceover agency, and they've come back. Julie listened to it, and she says, Steve Ferdinando is a natural. He sounds like your best mate. He has great comedic timing. I would not be surprised if he does not end up a bigger voice in the voiceover world. Could be the new Peter Dixon from X Factor.
Wow.
So we will forward that and try and get you some kind of agent.
Definitely.
Yeah? Overconfident. When it came to John Suchet, I should just say, John Suchet did not swear. This is what he actually said.
Just make the flipping coffee, Steve.
We added the bleep to make it more rock and roll, a bit more, less classic, more XFM.
More edgy.
Yeah, but we've now ruined that entirely by revealing the tricks of the trade.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
The man of 10,000 sound effects is here, Michael Winslow. We're having fun with Michael Winslow. You'll never feel lonely. You can always bring your own applause just like that. Michael's playing the E4 Udderbelly on Wednesday 20th of June to Friday 22nd of June, as well as going right the way around the country. Birmingham, Whitley Bay, Corby, Canterbury, Milton Keynes, Peterborough, Bath, everywhere. Sheffield, Stockton-on-Tees. You're going to be tired.
I'll be a few things, but at least we'll be having fun all while we're doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And what else you got going on? Because you were mentioning, I'm not sure if you can mention them on air. You listened to a thing this morning. Are you allowed to say about that, or are you not allowed to say about that?
Well, yeah.
Don't worry if you're not.
There's a thing with DJ Yoda.
I want to give a shout out
to DJ Yoda because I know he's out there listening.
Yeah.
I did a very strange bunch of noises for him for his single. Yeah. on his new upcoming thing, it's called Chop Suey.
Chop Suey.
And I got to do some
Kung Fu noises, specialized fighting style of Kung Fu.
Yes. Okay, look, Matt's eyes just lit up.
Yes. But why do they keep trying to fight us?
Because they have yet to feel the sting of Chinese fists.
Oh, man.
So there's that and a few other things.
You must never be bored. You can just sit on trains.
Things.
Really?
Oh, what? Sure. Oh, trains are fun, but not for the people riding with me.
No, I imagine not. Oh, hey, no. I wanted to throw a little challenge your way.
Sure.
And I've just sprung this on you. I just handed something to you a few moments ago. There's a semi-regular thing. We've talked about this gentleman in the past. He's a bad sci-fi character by the name of Tex McBellamy. There's a trilogy that we've been doing. We did the first part maybe nine months ago.
Tex McBellamy.
Tex McBellamy, exactly.
What planet is Texford from?
Gosh, I haven't got into that deep. I would be a terrible sci-fi writer. I haven't even got into...
Okay, Zontar 3.
Let's say he's from Earth, but he's on that place.
Earth's counterpart, Zontar 3.
Excellent. All right, well, let's find out what happens to him in part two of the Tex McBellamy trilogy. Tex McBellamy cast his eyes to the skies and exhaled a breath of pure freedom. The waves crashed on the beach alongside him. A small Spanish boy waved and giggled.
Hola, señor! Even though this is the planet Zonta 3 and I'm a Spanish boy, how did I get here? I can't tell you. It wasn't Dos Equis.
As a biplane.
Oh, señor, what do you need, huh?
As a biplane looped a glorious loop of victory above them.
Wow.
Señor, I think it's too close. You know the no-fly zone is in effect. Especially for the Zonta 3 English Olympic.
Tex was relaxing on holiday, just him and his trusty sidekick robot, Figgy 5000.
Yo, what's up? What's up?
Shut up!
All was well. All was well. When suddenly, an explosion!
Explosion detected! Explosion detected!
I don't believe it!
Something wrong! Explosiono! Explosiono! And I don't even know what language I'm speaking!
It's him, said Tex. It's Senator Greenglove. I can tell by the sound of his heli-chopper approaching! Oh, said Tex, I hope it hasn't got phasers.
I got news for you, mate. It's got them. Rifle rudder, now!
General Quarters.
He's shooting again. Mr. Wolf, warp one engage.
Aye, sir.
Where's Maria Santis when I need her?
Counselor.
Yes, Captain.
I need help on the bridge.
I'm busy, Captain.
Wow.
Senora.
Oh, it's the little Spanish boy again.
It's okay. I'm over 14.
I also hope it hasn't got one of those little barcode scanners you get at supermarkets. It does. All right. Suddenly, the doors to the heli-chopper opened. A mighty cannon took aim. And with what seemed
Churchill,
like
it's... Churchill, do you know how to use this cannon?
Oh, yes.
And with what seemed like its own echo, it fired...
Captain, I detect 4 quantum singularities heading this way, sir. Set course 11 on 5.1. Aye, sir. they come. That was close.
Tex woke up in hospital next to one of those machines. What happened, he said. Doctor? But the doctor looked at him and laughed maniacally. For a bit too long. It's green. Where is Figgy 5000? Where's that little Spanish boy?
Señor, turn off everything, turn off everything. Señor, the robot was me the whole time.
Michael Winslow, everybody! Wow! Absolutely incredible. We just had one text in. It just says, WTF.
We are
XFM.
After playing that clip of that gentleman, Eddie Newton,
yeah.
The famous sportsman,
yeah.
You know, all the cliches he was coming out with, Dave said something brilliant. He said, I used to... Well, you tell it, Dave.
Well, off the back of all those brilliant phrases and sayings from Eddie Newton.
Yeah, the sportsman.
It just got me thinking of phrases and sayings that I've used over the years,
yeah.
But maybe not quite correctly.
For example?
Well, my first one that I only realised recently, I got picked up on recently, was I thought it was out of the frying pan into the fryer. Well, it makes no sense.
Well, it makes, in a sense, it makes, well, it sort of makes sense. I'm trying to make you feel better. It makes no sense. Someone I know used to go, well, the foot's on the other boot now, isn't it?
Right.
Hey, yeah. Foot's on the other boot.
Oh.
It doesn't quite work unless you don't know how to get dressed.
A lot of people say the most common one I hear is a damp squib being a squid.
Oh, right. It's a damp squid. All squids are damp.
Yeah.
You know, think about where they live.
Yeah.
Notoriously damp.
XFM.
We're going to open up the Museum of Listener Excellence. The key, I'm just jangling that. Just wave it at the door and it opens. Oh, the beauty. Aww. The beauty. Nice echo work as well there, Dan. I'm just slightly ruining the image there. Oh, look. That's me walking now. There's Dexter over there, of course. Are you coming in, Matt, or what?
Oh, yeah, okay.
What are you wearing?
Hello behind you.
You're wearing crampons? Well, hey. Are your feet making that noise?
Seems to be muddy underfoot for me.
There's Dexter over there, look.
Oh, yeah.
Dave Davies from Froome. Anybody lost, man, just beyond. Amazing Paul, beyond him. Let's just pause for a second by the statue of Boring Jason.
I dreamt that I went to the zoo, one of those drive-through zoos where the animals come in your car, but the only animals they had were like cats and sort of squirrels and stuff.
And those dreams are just played out 24 hours a day, so you can hear the very latest ones from Jason. But this is what I want to show you, man, just over here. See that? Just over there, just beyond Gareth and Hoddesdon.
Oh, right, yeah.
Do you remember this?
I am winter. Make the most of your ducklings and Easter eggs, daffodils and gambling lambs. As sure as spring has sprung today, I'll be back with grey skies and doom and gloom, snow, ice and howling winds, when I shall return in August.
It's a 40-foot statue we put there essentially to scare the children. And it's in honour of Yorkshire Grey. Are you there, Yorkshire Grey?
Yes, I'm here, Danny.
Oh, Yorkshire Grey, everybody. Yay. Welcome. You've been inducted into the Museum of Listener Excellence. How do you feel?
I'm absolutely overcome. It's the greatest privilege I've ever bestowed on me in my entire life.
That's good. I'm not sure why Matt's just walking around in a circle.
Sorry.
Matt just walked off while he was saying that. That's a special thing to do.
So exciting.
Yorkshire Grey, we are so happy that we can put you in the museum. You are a terrific listener. You text us every morning. You tell us where you're off to and stuff. You used to work on the spanners. That's what you said. You drive a car with little butterflies on it.
I do indeed.
So there you go. In that clip there, you were personifying winter, as we said goodbye to winter. Do you think you could tell us what summer is thinking right now?
About the owl? probably not off the top of my head.
Sounds like a no.
XFM.
What is the good news here in the studio? David, I'm looking at you. What's your good news?
Good news, guys.
Yeah?
Like a film that no one really understands or engages with at the beginning, but then goes on to become a retrospective favourite, Work Experience Steve has achieved cult status.
Yes, he has.
Following on from his recent voiceover work for XFM.
Yeah.
Isle of Wight, download Latitude.
The recently named Wild Stallion has hit new heights of fame, with Classic FM's John Suchet yes. even requesting to offer his narrative skills free of charge.
Just make the flipping coffee, Steve.
The world is his oyster, with his coffee-making days soon to be behind him.
Absolutely. Nice one, Steve. Hey, good news, guys. Last night, I think I found my first and only white beard hair. Nestled in amongst the darker, more vibrant hairs, standing out like a mad old man at a festival. Well, I welcome it along. It joins two white head hairs there and one in a sideburn, reminding us that we are all on this journey together. A journey as one, yet separate. Together yet alone, arriving in this world with nothing but the clothes we were born in, and leaving in whatever style our era decides for us. Here for but the blink of an eye, the only indicators of each footstep we take towards the grave, another grey hair or another small ache, a moment longer to think, an unreturned glance from a stranger in a bar, the imperceptible fade of the once ever-present glint in the eye, and yet, yes, it has always been this way, and always will it be thus. You're listening to The Breakfast Show on XFM.
XFM.
We asked you this morning, or phrases or cliches, you know, that the rest of the world gets right, if you or someone you know managed to get completely wrong. And once you start getting these things wrong, it's hard to get them right, isn't it? No one really sort of corrects you. Consider this. Consider this a public service. We'll now be correcting all these. So Andy from Kent says, these are the ones he's got wrong. Generosity killed the cat. He's gone on for years going, well, generosity killed the cat. People probably thought he's been quite witty, but no. James from Clapham. I thought make ends meet meant producing and keeping the end bits of meat in hard times. Which makes sense. Yeah, it makes absolute sense. My friend got himself out of a fight through in all seriousness saying, if you're not careful, I'm going to wipe your floor for you. That's from Bruce the Boffin Helper.
Confirm, Mr. Marina, my mum thought that Jesus swept for our sins rather than
He would have, though, wouldn't he?
He would have.
That's
swept.
Him all over.
I'm not the sharpest light in the shed.
Apparently.
Deaf as a dodo from my partially deaf, as it turns out, dyslexic friend.
Oh, right, okay. Understandable. Took me until my second year at university to work out that everyone referenced when ends meet and not hens. I can never work out which hens and why. Why are hens meeting, says Jay, when hens meet?
That's great. Confirm listener Rachel says, I have a friend who describes things as moo points.
That's a moo point.
I know what he's trying to say, moot, but refuse to correct him because it's more amusing seeing others try to work out how cows got involved in the conversation.
Julie, who describes herself as thick in Chiswick, says, you know the phrase, how'd you like them apples? I got it unutterably wrong, stating, them some nice potatoes. Nice work, Julie. Nice work. Bradders says, I once heard a woman I work with describing a pair of shoes as being blatant leather. Is that a patent leather?
Blatant leather.
They are blatant leather. They are blatantly leather. They're so leather, it's blatant. Kerry says, a guy I know used the phrase, instead of scapegoats, he thought it was escape goats. Got to get one of them escape goats, you know. I'll be out there. 3 or 4 days, I'll be gone.
There are people kicking themselves all along London today.
Yeah. I thought it was an escape goat.
Kate says, when I was younger, I used to think it was, your name's not Dan, you're not coming in. It took several years to work that one out. John in Palmer's Green has a couple. My colleague Mark came out with them recently. It's a vicious seesaw, is one of them. And on the phone last week, he said he'd keep his nose to the ground.
It's a catch 48 situation. That's someone's boss. Adam says, really hit the nail on the hammer. Natasha used to say, tighten my pearl strings until I discovered it was purse strings. And Rachel says, when I was smaller, I thought it was the best thing since life spread. she says she's grown up. Was there one about Saddam?
One more excellent one here. Yeah. Sort of related to what you ask, says Anonymous. My friend Frankie asked what Saddam Hussein had done to become a sir. she thought his name was Sir Dam Hussein. And when we explained what a sir, etc. was, she then asked, right, so what the hell has Dame Edna Everidge ever done?
That's lovely. Elsa, what's yours?
When people said, oh, it's a really long way away, I thought way away was one really cool word.
It's a really long way away.
Way away, way.
And Tim in Wiltshire, what's yours?
What I said before, we'll burn that bridge when we get to it.
We'll burn that bridge when we get to it. That's Tim's business ethic all over. XFM. The Museum of Listener Excellence. Thanks to his sterling impression of Winter not so long ago. So I put it to him that I wanted him to give us an idea of what summer would be thinking right now. And poor Yorkshire Grey, he happens this morning to be in a van full of other scaffolders, you know, men, where men are men, that kind of thing. And you've met Yorkshire Grey, haven't you?
Well, I didn't meet him, but I didn't have the chance to, but I saw him at the Enemy gig recently.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a proper big burly builder.
He's a burly builder.
With long dreadlocks.
Really?
And he's in a van full of proper big burly builders. And it's well worth keeping with us to hear what he's just done.
Yes. Yeah. Imagine a big burly builder with all his big burly builder mates in a van right now after we've made him do this.
I am summer. I am the sun, the sea, the sand. I am so silly. I can't possibly think of anything else. Silly old summer. Summer!
Thanks, Yorkshire Grey. A message to your travelling companions. Graham really would love it if you would just call him Silly Old Graham from now on. In that voice. We are... We keep getting requests for the Kicks Uh-Oh, which is a heartening thing. A heartening thing, the breakfast show band. If you don't know it, let's remind you just of a moment of the Kicks. So, Uh-Oh, yeah? Uh-Oh, and it's... Do you know what's been happening more and more? I've been hearing more people saying, Uh-Oh. Since we launched that competition and since Jordan and Philip wrote that brilliant song.
Me too.
To the point where I hear it almost everywhere now. It's Eurovision tomorrow, okay? It's Eurovision. And check this out. This is the official entry from San Marino. The arrogance of going, uh-oh, everybody loves this song. Well done, San Marino. And then, of course, there was Turkey. Check this out. Yeah, so all these Eurovision things, they seem to be getting back to the old days, right, when it was just noises. It'd just be like Bippily Boppily and Bing Bang Boo and Doodle-loo and all this kind of stuff. I once wrote a Eurovision song. You didn't know this about me.
I brought it in.
And I wanted to get away from just noises. I wanted to get back to social conscience, you know. Because in the old days, it used to be about improving the world and loving each other and all holding hands and, you know, all these amazing images they would cast of all sort of just babies of all nations walking down the street holding hands, that kind of stuff, you know, that the world can be a better place through song. So I wrote a song called Stop the Muggin', Start the Huggin'. And I took it to Svante Stoxelius in Brussels. I sat down. He is the head of Eurovision.
Really?
And I played it to him.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what he thought of it. We'll play it now. Here we go.
People all over the world, all ladies, men and girls. Stop the muggin' and start the huggin' and tidy up the world. People all over the streets, be nice to those you meet. Yeah. Cut your cusses when on the buses and offer up your seats.
Aww.
Try not to be a ram-rave rammer, try not to mock a small boy stammer. And if you really must graffiti, pay attention to the grammar. People all over the land, come join my happy band. Quit the robbing, go barber jobbing and lend a helping hand.
Break it down.
Respect your to the Eurovision crew. I'm here to conquer Europe, second place will never do. It's time to save the planet and the dolphins on crack. Rewind your videos before you take them back. Yeah. People Europe-wide, put arguments aside. The human race will all embrace, well, the ones that haven't died. Yeah. People all over the world, all ladies, men and girls. Stop the mugging and start the hugging and let your love on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vote for me.
And Svante said no.
Oh.
XFM. What have we learned today? I wonder. Well, John Suchet said this.
But first, just make the f***ing coffee, Steve.
Except he didn't, really. He said this.
Just make the flipping coffee, Steve.
Yeah, we're being cheeky with it. Sorry, John. The dictator phoned in as well.
I am Admiral General Sergeant Aladdin, Chief and Chief Ophthalmologist of Wadiyar.
Yes.
Most triumphant general and excellent swimmer, including butterfly.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Here he is.
We are XFM.
I like painting a picture of you as a monster.
Do you? Why would you do that?
Well, because, you know, you come across on the radio as being such a nice guy, but they don't know the real you.
What is the real me?
A monster.
What kind of monster?
Well, a big green one.
Green monster?
Yeah, with suction cups.
Come on.
And you eat little children.
I've never eaten a child in my life.
Oh, come on.
Where's this coming from?
Oh, it's just, you know, no one else is here.
What's wrong with you? You're going through something. You're going through something. Come here, let me cradle you.
Oh, that's nice.
God, someone's coming. Quick, get up. Podcast 44, that was. We hope you enjoyed it. There'll be another one same time next week. It's not what it looks like. It's not what it looks like.
Yes, we are XFM.
Annie Wallace.